First, in 1909, the Wisconsin legislature designated almost 4,000 acres in Door County as Peninsula State Park. A few years later, two St. Louis women opened Camp Monaga for girls. Our guest compiled the history of the park and the camp in her new book, a history that lasts from 1916 to 1948, encompassing two world wars and the Great Depression. Kathleen Harris is the author of the new book, From the Lookout, Memories of Peninsula State Park's Summer Camp for Girls. Kathleen, welcome to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Camp Monaga was created shortly after Peninsula State Park itself was formed. How were those beginnings connected?
Well, let me start with how camp got started. It really arose out of necessity. There were two women who found themselves in a financial pickle. They were from Missouri, and they were raising their children alone. In October of 1915, they went to something called the Veiled Prophet Parade in Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri. And in talking to each other, they knew each other through their children who attended school together. They realized that they were both thinking of the same solution, to open a summer camp for girls. And so they did that. The idea took hold, it took off, and camp was successful for 33 years. And as you said, Rob, at the same time, Peninsula State Park got its start in 1909. It was actually the second state park in Wisconsin, the first being Interstate, established in 1900. But Peninsula was the park that came about when a system of state parks got going. And for me, the rise of a camp like Camp Monaga, the rise of summer camps, really, youth camps in America, and the rise of state parks had some things in common. A lot of things were happening at that time in America. I'll just mention a couple. One was the United States, this great nation of ours, was changing from an agrarian society to an industrial society. There was something called the Great Migration, where African Americans and others were moving to the cities for work. There were changes in medicine and technology. In medicine, for example, not long before camp got going, around the turn of the last century, 1 in 7 people died of tuberculosis. The idea of vaccines, that's a big discussion point today, was just becoming to be known. So much was changing. And of course, the other obvious thing related to this book were gender roles, and also roles of different cultures and races. So a lot of those things happened at the same time. As far as the park goes, there was also something called the progressive movement. And part of that involved the concept, the idea that public land was there for the public, for people, for anybody who, you know, you didn't have to be able to afford it to enjoy public land. The rise of state parks like Peninsula was given for a few reasons, being things like preserving cultural and natural features. But I think a lot of your listeners might be surprised to know that health and spiritual renewal were also a justification presented by John Nolan, the landscape architect who really provided that, or created that first treatise to establish state parks, to the legislature. So lots of things going on at the same time. But as far as Monaga goes, it was personal necessity of these two women who needed to make some money without a lot of options at the time that really gave rise to Monaga.
And can you talk about the kinds of campers, the girls and young women who ended up spending weeks at Camp Monaga?
Sure. So the girls who attended Camp Monaga were by and large wealthy girls, middle and upper class girls. So people like your listeners might recognize names like the Kimball girls. That would be Kimberly Clark. How about the Turnbull twins? They attended Camp Monaga in the 20s. Their dad was the first president of the Green Bay Packers. There was a woman named Alice Holtz who attended Camp Monaga. Her father was a diamond merchant from Chicago. Now, that's not to say there weren't other girls that weren't as wealthy that went to camp. There were. But by and large, these were middle and upper class girls. And the other audience that's from the Lookout, that tells us the other story that is told to some degree, are the workers who were at camp. So there were a lot of local kids, youth, and then also older, you know, adults who worked there. and parts of their story are told as well.
And this was a big deal in the community when all of a sudden there was this camp bringing in people from around the state and in some cases around the country. What was the local reaction like?
I think A.E. Doolittle, who was the park's first manager, he was there for about 30 years. He was smart enough to know that having a summer camp for girls would be good for relations. You have to remember that when Peninsula was established, as much as we think everybody would love the idea, if you were one of the 30 or so families who had land and were forced to sell or were given a life lease, you were not very happy. And so there actually was a lot of, friction in the community. And A.E. Doolittle knew that this camp would provide jobs for people, for local people. And indeed it did. So does that answer your question or ask me another?
No, that's fine. We're talking to Kathleen Harris. Her new book is From the Lookout, Memories of Peninsula State Park's Summer Camp for Girls. She worked at Peninsula State Park, by the way, as a naturalist for 25 years. Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about what life was like for the girls who attended this camp? It's an interesting mix, you write, of, you know, training in, stereotypically feminine things, but also stuff that usually only the boys got to do. Tell us about that mix.
Well, that changed over time. When Mrs. Clark and Mrs. Mabley established camp, they assured parents, for example, that the girls would only participate in one strenuous activity a day. And that was, they were really referring to athletics. And the fear was at the time that if you did too many strenuous activities, that you wouldn't be able to have children, basically. That changed as the understanding of athletics and women's sports changed. So they did that. The girls participated in horseback riding, not Western saddle. This was pre-Bonanza. These were saddlebred horses that were brought up from Milwaukee and Chicago at one point. They, of course, the waterfront was a big deal, so sailing lessons was happening too. And then they had the traditional camp activities that you would think about, campfires and hiking and those sorts of things. But Mrs. Clark and Mrs. Mabley also knew that they wanted these girls to be prepared for a changing world and to be able to present themselves in society and in the working world. That changed over time as women entered the working field. So they had things like literary, where girls would write essays and poems and then recite them for each other. They invited the girls to proper teas at the cottage. So there were those sorts of things as well.
And they went through some tough times in American history, through two world wars and the Great Depression. How did the camp react to some of those big events while they were, bringing girls in for the summer?
Well, one of the ways we know how the girls reacted and how the broader social trends were, the broader events were affecting Monaga was because of the pack and paddles. Those were the camp yearbooks. So during both wars, camp was active in raising funds for, in the First World War, Belgian war orphans, in the Second and the First, the Red Cross. So world events really did impact Monaga. The other thing that impacted it that From the Lookout tells about is, of course, the Great Depression and the financial challenges that Monaga faced.
And as we start to wrap up, what do you hope people take away from looking back at the story of the campers and staff of Camp Monaga today?
Well, I think you can read the book in two ways and maybe reread it in different ways. So on the surface, in today's times when there's so much news that's stressful, so many people have tough times themselves, I think Camp Monaga, the story of Camp Monaga told in The Lookout is a nostalgic look at a bygone era. And it's a fun read. There's poems and music and all kinds of things in there. But on a deeper level, for me, the story of Camp Monaga also tells how to live a life, perseverance, friendship, the things you need to get through those changing times. So those would be the things I hope people take from the book. And I might add, too, the idea of preservation of place. Because place without memory is just a point on a map. In order to preserve places like Peninsula State Park, we need to know what happened there and why it's important to preserve it.
Kathleen, thanks so much for sharing it with us today.
Thank you.
Kathleen Harris is an author and naturalist. She shared her new book with us. It's called From the Lookout. It chronicles the history of Camp Monaga in Peninsula State Park.